Oh, don't worry. You're in the right place. This is going to be a politics and football episode of the Comparison Group podcast. Just indulge me for a moment, if you will, because Valentine's Day is coming up. Allow me to score some brownie points by sending out a love message to my wife. I want to take this opportunity to let her know how special she is. You feel free to grab that special person in your life and co-opt this message. It doesn't have to just be a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, anyone special in your life. A mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, cousin, niece, nephew, or grandparent. That's right. Grab that someone special and tell them you love them.
There's a new sun arising. I can see a new horizon that will keep me realizing you're the biggest part of me. Need your love and here beside me. Need you close enough to guide me. I've been hoping you would find me. You're the biggest part of me.
We have our issues, sure. But a strong relationship endures. I mean, I still don't understand what difference it makes what direction the dishes are facing when I load the dishwasher. Seems silly to me, but okay. Are you telling me we bought a dishwasher that only gets one side of the dishes wet? And how come when it's your turn to do the dishes, the frying pans have to soak in the sink for 3 days? Then they can go in the dishwasher. But when it's my turn, I gotta wash them right away because you need them. But it's okay. It's okay, because it's all love. I do think it's petty to take the dishes out and turn them around after I just finished loading the dishwasher. And can you stop forwarding me those emails for the pills that make men last longer in bed? I'm not going to take them. You knew what you signed up for when you married me. Happy Valentine's Day. That's right, ladies. I'm taken. Now, that's enough fooling around. This is a continuation of last episode. Last episode, I talked about taxes and how Democrats could perhaps adjust what appears to be their main complaint on taxes. That being the rich don't pay their fair share. Biden made that pretty clear in the State of the Union, didn't he? Rich got to pay their fair share. I talked about Democrats ignoring the problem with that is that when you tax the rich or corporations, the cost tends to funnel down to everyone but the rich and corporations. And I backed that point up with studies and evidence, which you can still find on the website www.thecomparisongroup.com under sources and fact checks. I told you in this episode I would talk about the Republicans' main complaint on taxes, which is the government takes our money and they waste it. And a lot of the time, they waste it on people who don't deserve it. And like a gift from the heavens, a right-leaning host gave me the perfect clip to play in this episode to reinforce that point. So I'm going to play that clip for you now. Before I do, remember, we're all adults here. We're all adults. This show is not about agreement. This show is about hearing other people's viewpoints. Respectfully hearing other people's viewpoints. Don't get caught up in the crude. Don't get caught up in the offensive. Don't get caught up in the vitriol because everyone does it. Everyone. I just heard a left-leaning radio host this morning say that Marjorie Taylor Greene at the State of the Union in that white outfit looked like a female Boss Hog from the Dukes of Hazzard TV show. All right, so everybody has their way about them. So don't get caught up in exactly how the host is talking in this show. And by the way, I don't mention the names. If I'm giving some critical opinion, I'm not looking to start a fight with anyone. I'm not looking to make a name for myself by calling somebody else out, somebody who's much, much bigger than me, and hoping that they mention me so that now, you know, I'm on their radar. I'm not looking to do that. So I generally, when I'm criticizing or giving a critical opinion, I don't mention a name. If I'm complimenting, I'll mention a name. And I've told you, there are right-leaning shows that I listen to and like. There are left-leaning shows that I listen to and like. There are shows, well, no, there aren't really any shows in the middle. It's right or left. But I listen to it all. Listen to it all. All right. So here, let's listen to the clip. This is, again, a right-leaning perspective on paying taxes. Okay.
And I am so sick and tired of hearing BS from this guy. Listen, the politics of envy the Democrats practice is disgusting, and the Republicans better damn well start taking this on. Go get a freaking job. Go get a job and get off your ass. Stop talking about everyone else's money as if it's yours. I'm sick of you grifter liberal losers sitting in your mama's basement with your freaking Ben and Jerry's and your Fruity Pebbles all morning. Go get a freaking job. You're obsessed with other people's money because you suck and you can't do a damn thing yourself, you losers and zeros. Grifters like Biden. Hey, FF, yeah. From a bum who's never worked a serious day in his entire life. Disgusting. Grifter bum. Using his family to leverage foreign countries to give them money because they can't get real jobs. Disgusting.
What did Ben and Jerry's do? I'm telling you, you listen to other forms of media and you find out, like, why are they mad at Ben and Jerry's? I don't know. But in any case, I didn't just stumble across that clip. That's a show that I listen to on a regular basis. If you are a regular listener, you may notice I've played clips from that show before. Sometimes maybe to reinforce a good point, sometimes to reinforce a bad point. It's a show I listen to for the same reason I tell people I hope they would listen to this show. It's interesting, it's informative, and it's entertaining. It's kind of entertaining probably in a bad way. You know, it's like maybe I like watching YouTube videos of lions eating animals. You know, it really shouldn't be entertained by that. It's fascinatingly disturbing sometimes. But at the same time, I listen because, like I say, I want to hear different viewpoints. I want to learn. You don't learn from just listening to people that you agree with all the time. So, again, the venom aside, getting past that, what about what he said? What about how he feels? I have a feeling he's a guy who just before he started his show, his accountant called him and said, hey, this is how much you owe in taxes this year, which that'll set anybody off if you make, you know, a decent living. So he may have been a little more fired up than usual, but what he said did kind of irk me, which is usually when I'll give some critical opinion is when something really, really irks me. What irks me is what appears to be hatred. Just a hatred of half the country. And it's a hatred based on just something that just, there's just no way it's accurate. You think only people on the left are lazy? I mean, if you're on the left, you're not supposed to say anybody's lazy. I get that. But we all know there are lazy people and they're not just on the left. We know that. You think people on the right are the only rich people in this country paying taxes? There are plenty of wealthy people on the left who are paying taxes. Plenty. You think anyone on the left is sitting out there going, you know what I like to do? I like to pay my taxes and let the government waste it. That's my thing. That's what I'm all about. Yeah, I'm all about paying taxes and watching it go to money who don't go to people who don't deserve it. You think the left is okay with that? You think the left is cool with that? No, there are policy differences between the left and the right, but to sit and act as if you're on the left, you love the government throwing money away to people who don't deserve it, you're crazy. That's just a crazy notion to have. Now, we might find some common ground on some things the left spends the money on that I do not think they should be spending the money on, but that's a different discussion. That's a spending discussion. I'll get to that. I'll get to that in the next episode. I want to have a big spending discussion. But to sit here and act as if it's only one party, the problem is just one party, it's disingenuous. There's no way anyone could possibly think that's true. I mean, does anyone seriously want to sit and have an argument over which party wastes our tax dollars more? Does anyone really want to have that argument? In Palm County, Florida, they took pandemic money and built a golf course in a county that already had 160 golf courses. They felt they needed 161. I believe it was in South Dakota. It was either North Dakota, South Dakota. I think it was South Dakota. The governor of South Dakota took the pandemic money and spent it on a tourism campaign. A tourism campaign for South Dakota. What was that campaign? Hey, I know you can go look at dirt anywhere, but why not come to South Dakota? Look at our dirt. I mean, having an argument about who wastes more tax dollars is like having an argument over which Fast and the Furious movie was more unrealistic. Was it the one where they dragged a 20-ton safe down the street? Was it the one where they jumped the cars out of the airplane and appeared to be steering the cars in midair? Was it the one where an airplane went down a runway for what appeared to be the last 45 minutes of the movie? I mean, that's got to be the longest runway in the world. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous argument to have. But it's also a huge mistake. A huge mistake for the country. This is when I'll turn it to football. Politics and football. We got the Super Bowl on Sunday. Who's going to win the game? Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Will it be the Eagles? Will it be the Chiefs? Will it be the team with the best players? Will it be the team that pays the players the most money, assuming they'll work harder or play harder if they're getting paid more? Will it be the team with the best head coach? Will it be the team that comes up with the best game plan? Nope. Nope, 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 nope. It will be the team that makes the fewest mistakes. In almost every single case. Not just this game. Any game. Not just a sport. Any sport. The team that makes the fewest mistakes will win virtually every single time. Andy Reid, the head coach for the Chiefs, he could sit in the room and watch hours upon hours upon hours of tape scouting the Eagles. And he'll pick up on something. Oh, look at that. This defensive back for the Eagles, he pauses for half a beat every time on play action. And then if you give him a move to the inside, he opens his hips in the wrong way. That gives us an advantage. I'm going to draw up a play to take advantage of that. The best time to use it will be early in the game when we're inside the 50-yard line, going in, they get in the game, the moment comes, they run the play that they've been practicing for the last 2 weeks, the receiver's wide open, and the quarterback overthrows the ball by 2 inches. Or the running back misses his blocking assignment, and the quarterback never even gets the ball off. It's the mistakes. It's misreading coverage. The quarterback sees one coverage, the receiver sees another coverage, receiver goes one way, quarterback throws the ball the other way, it's intercepted. It's a missed tackle. It's an easy missed field goal. Dallas Cowboys. I know they were extra points. But you get the point. It's mistakes. It's a mistake to write off half the country. It's a mistake to write off an entire party. I've said it many times here. If you've never heard the show, I've said it a million times. Usually, I'm talking to the left about Trump supporters. I've said a million times, it's a mistake to write off every single Trump supporter. To put every single Republican in the same boat. I tell people, oh, no, I can tell you, they're not all the same. I have friends who are Trump supporters. Oh, how can you be friends with a Trump supporter? So I did an episode, How to Be Friends with a Trump Supporter. Does that answer your question? I don't want to listen to that. I don't like the title. What? Oh, I wish you had told me you were asking a rhetorical question. I wouldn't have wasted my time doing the episode. But this is what people do. We just write people off. We just say, no, I don't even want to hear what you have to say, what you have to tell me. This is how I feel. It's a mistake. It's an important mistake. And the team that makes the most mistakes is going to lose. America is the team. The other teams we're going to lose to, if we keep this up, are China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. That's who we're going to end up losing to if we continue to make these mistakes. It's also a huge mistake to continue to push this idea that's getting more and more popular that paying taxes is a bad thing. Paying taxes is a bad thing. I once heard a guy very rich guy, very wealthy guy, said, oh, man, do I owe taxes. And I bet you he owed millions in taxes. Not million, millions in taxes. I bet you. That's how wealthy this guy was. He said, man, I owe a lot of taxes. I hope I owe more next year. And then I hope I owe more the year after that. And I hope I owe more the year after that. Because the more I owe in taxes, that means the more money I'm making. So if I owe more every year, that means I'm making more every year. And I said, man, I said, that's an interesting, confusing way to look at taxes. But he's kind of right. So this idea that's gaining more and more traction, that it makes you smart to not pay taxes, it's a mistake. The taxes ain't the problem. The spending is. People gotta pay taxes. We gotta pay taxes. If we want to stay the number one country in the world, we have to pay taxes. There's no getting around that. Making people feel like, oh, if you don't pay taxes, if you make $1 billion and you only pay $750 in federal tax, well, that makes you smart. No. There's another word for that, and it ain't smart. Now, before anyone says it, well, hey, if you want to pay more taxes, go ahead and pay more taxes. Let me answer that. That's what everybody always says. Hey, look, if you want to send the government more of your money, go ahead and send it to them. I think what people are saying when they say we got to pay taxes, or when Warren Buffett or Bill Gates says, hey, I'm okay with paying more in taxes, I think what they're saying is, I'm okay if everybody's paying more, but I don't want to pay more so you can pay less. That's not the idea here. That's what rubs me the wrong way and should rub anyone the wrong way, because it's not the rich guy paying $750 in taxes. It's the rich guy farting on a gold toilet paying $750 in taxes. Now, come on. You're telling me that doesn't bother you? You're hanging drywall, doing roofing, driving truck, fighting crime, and a guy with a $10,000 a month tanning lotion budget is paying no taxes? No, taking advantage of a broken tax system doesn't make you any smarter than someone taking advantage of a broken welfare system. I got a problem with the word smart, but I'll concede. It might be stupid, or I might consider someone stupid who pays more in taxes than the law requires, but I might consider someone stupid who goes to work full time when they can make more money or be better off working part time or not working at all, getting back to the lazy bums to get off their butt that we want to call people. Wouldn't you consider someone who says, you know what, with the benefits that the law allows, what the government is offering me, let me figure it out. If I go to work 40 hours a week, let me see here, my take home will be about $1,900 a month at $15 an hour. But if I work 30 hours a week and I can get $800 a month in rental assistance, that's $2,300 a month. I make more money by working less. So would that person be smart or would they be lazy? Would they be a lazy bum? Which one would they be? If someone figures to work, not at all. Hey, look, I can get rental assistance. I can get this. I can get SNAP, benefits, heating oil. I get all these things. Why would I go to work? I won't be rich. I might even be miserable. But would I rather be miserable at work or would I rather be miserable at home? Which one's smarter? In other words, attack the policy, not the people. Not the people. Democrats, don't attack the rich. Attack the policy. The tax code is broken. Don't attack the people. Republicans, not the poor people. The policy is broken. Don't attack the people. Fix the policy. Neither party has the balls, excuse my language, to fix the policy. Because in order to fix the policy, each party has to look their constituents in the face and say, look, you ain't gonna like what you're about to hear. Each party. Republicans got to look the rich guys, their donors, in the face and say, you ain't going to like this, but this is what we got to do. And Democrats got to look some of their constituents in the face and say, you ain't going to like this, but this is what we got to do to fix this policy. We cannot have people making more money or doing better by working less. It doesn't make any sense. We can't have it. We can't have a billionaire paying $750 in federal taxes. We just can't have it. It don't work. Now, are there lazy people? Absolutely. Of course. You go to any job. You go to any job in America and you'll find them. You know, like I said, you're not supposed to say that, but there are. I've said it before. Just because someone is in a hard job doesn't necessarily mean they're hard working. You could walk into a job and see Sylvia over there in the corner in the warehouse busting her butt. And you say, hey, what's Anthony doing over there? What's he working on? And Sylvia will tell you, he's working on my last nerve. That's what he's working on. So you find it anywhere. Are there tax cheats? Absolutely. Of course. Of course. There are people who do everything they can do, any means they can find to get away with not paying taxes. Of course. But the majority, the vast majority of working people, which based on our unemployment going back prior to Biden, a lot of people are working. We got a good number of people in this country working. Those people are paying taxes. It comes out of their check every single pay period. So don't let anybody tell you, oh, it's just the rich people. The rich people are paying most of the taxes. No, working people are paying about 60% of what the government spends a year in those payroll taxes. And rich people pay taxes. Don't let the left tell you that they don't. You know, it's a matter of fact that rich people actually don't look to really cheat on their taxes too much because rich people are scrutinized way more by the IRS. If you make $35,000 a year and you cheat on your taxes, they'll get around to you. They'll find you. If there's something suspicious in your tax return, they'll get to you. But if you make $3 million a year and there's something suspicious, oh, you're going to get a knock on your door sooner rather than later. So rich people actually pay their taxes and pay them pretty consistently. And working people do too. Like I say, comes out of their check. Got no choice. I tell you, I don't get it. I don't get how it's even possible for there to be such a divide in this country over an issue we all agree on. We all agree on. No one likes paying taxes, and no one likes seeing anybody take advantage of the system, whether at the top or at the bottom. We all agree on that. It's got to be like 90% of the country that agrees on that. There's probably 5% of people at the bottom taking advantage, 5% of people at the top taking advantage. The 90% of us all agree we don't like it. And yet, what a divide. What an argument. Ah, those rich people, they got to pay their fair share. Ah, those poor people, they're taking my money. Government takes my money, tax and spend. It's crazy. How do we allow that to happen? I guess it's because we just have talking point arguments. No substance, just talking points, just headline arguments. All we do is read the headlines and stuff, and we form an opinion, and we argue. Oh, the rich got to pay their fair share. It's a problem, because when there's no substance to the discussion, there's no solutions. No solutions, no ideas. You know, like I said in the last episode, everyone that owes taxes isn't some rich cattle baron that just doesn't want to pay, that's just hiding their money in their mattresses. There are a lot of people who lost their businesses during the pandemic, businesses that were already not doing all that great before the pandemic, and they either went out of business or they're struggling now, and they may have fallen behind on their taxes. There are a lot of people out there who owe taxes who aren't bad people, and they're struggling. And so I said, how about a tax amnesty? How about offering a federal tax amnesty for certain people? And guess what I considered after the show, I didn't mention it in the show, is when we hire all of these IRS agents to go and chase after these people who owe taxes, well, guess what's going to happen? They're going to end up paying it back at a reduced amount, probably, if they're struggling. So offering an amnesty and saying, hey, you can pay back these taxes, no questions asked, the back taxes at a reduced amount, maybe at 80%, 75%. Well, when the IRS goes after someone, they have a formula. They don't negotiate. They have a formula. And whatever that formula says you can pay, that's what the IRS takes. And so if someone has lost their business, lost their home, lost all their money, and they're struggling, if they owe $100,000 in taxes and the IRS's formula says they can pay $5,000, guess what? The IRS takes $5,000. That's it. That's the way it works. And so offering an amnesty wouldn't be all that much different than going and spending all the money hiring all these agents chasing after people. But you only come up with stuff like that if you have a substantive discussion about it. Not if you just say the rich got to start paying their fair share or poor people are taking all my money. Get off your lazy butts and go to work. So that's the last thing I'll leave you with. Some information to have a discussion. Some people ain't going to like this, but it's information. From an article. This is from the World Population Review, but this information I'm going to give you is based on the 2020 U.S. Census. It says federal aid is allocated to states for a variety of purposes. After the federal government generates revenue from taxes, it is redistributed to the states based on need, right? So we all know that. Federal government takes in the money, takes in the taxes, they distribute it to the states based on need, which is generally based on the census. Count how many people or in the country, in each district, find out how much need there is, federal dollars are allocated. So, given the right's dislike of federal aid, let's just take a look at the states that take the most federal aid and which states take the least federal aid. And you can't just look at the states with the highest total federal funding because they're California, Texas, Florida, New York, Virginia. They're the states with the biggest populations. So if you just looked at the states that take the most money from the Fed, it's misleading. You have to look at the per capita. What states take per capita? And also, are there states that pay more in taxes to the federal government than they receive from the federal government? Let's take a look at that. The 10 states with the lowest net federal funding per resident per capita are, number one, New Jersey, a negative $2,368 per person. Number two, Massachusetts. That's a hard word to say. Massachusetts. Number three, New York. Number four, North Dakota. Number five, Illinois. Number six, New Hampshire. Number seven, Washington. Number eight, Nebraska. Number nine, Colorado. Number 10, California. Of the top 10 lowest net federal funding, meaning the states that pay more to the federal government than they receive back in federal aid, of the top 10, New Jersey, down to Colorado, the top nine are all negative. They all give more than they get back from the federal government. California is like $12 per person, so just barely above negative. Of those 10 states, nine of them are blue. Nine of them are blue states. Thank you, North Dakota, at coming in at number four. That's the only Republican state that pays more in than they take from the federal government, North Dakota. Please talk to your sister state, South Dakota. A real problem with them. Now, here are the 10 states with the most federal funding per resident. The states that take the most money out of the federal government. You ain't gonna like this. Number one, Virginia. Doggone Virginia. That has a lot to do with defense contractors. They'll be ashamed of themselves. But they're number one, $10,301 per resident. Number two, Kentucky. Number three, New Mexico. Number four, West Virginia. Number five, Alaska. Number six, Mississippi. Number seven, Alabama. Number eight, Maryland. Number nine, Maine. Number 10, Hawaii. So out of those 10 states, three are blue. You know, you got a couple swing states in there, but more red states that are taking more federal aid than any other state. And they all like to say, oh, we keep our taxes low here. Oh, yeah, we don't charge our residents taxes. We don't want to take our tax dollars from our citizens and give it to the federal government. We want our people to keep their money. We don't want to give it to the federal government. They certainly have no problem taking the money from the federal government, though, do they? Now, that being said, that information being provided, does that make blue states better than red states? Of course not. Does it make red states bad? Of course not. A state like West Virginia finds themselves on the list. I think they were at like number five of one of the states that takes the most from the federal government. They got a hard way to go in West Virginia. Not their fault. Not the people. The policy. You know, you just can't jump out of bed in West Virginia and say, you know, I think I'll start a business selling iPhones today. I mean, it's tough. There's more economic activity in some states versus others. And so there will be more taxes being paid in those states. And so there will be the imbalance. So if it doesn't make the states bad because they may take more than they give, it doesn't make the people bad because they may take more than they give. The fact is, our problem really isn't so much taxes, it's the spending. It's not about who's paying, who's not paying taxes, it's the spending, which I'm going to talk about next episode. Because I've told you before, I told you the last episode or the episode before that, when it comes to our tax to GDP ratio, we're pretty solid. You know, the World Bank would say you want to keep a tax to GDP ratio of about 15% to have a productive economy. We're up around 20%. We collected $5 trillion, almost $5 trillion, in taxes last year. According to the White House, this is the White House's projections for 2023, income taxes are slated to contribute $2.35 trillion. Another $1.59 trillion will come from payroll taxes. This includes $1.10 trillion for Social Security, $342 billion for Medicare, and $55 billion for unemployment insurance. Corporate taxes will add another $284 billion. So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money coming from everybody. You might say, oh, see, corporations, only $284 billion. That's not a lot. But remember, there are individuals at those corporations, and they do pay income taxes. So they contribute to that $2.35 trillion that is projected for 2023. So as I said, before I start screaming about who is or isn't paying taxes, I'm going to start screaming about where the money's going. That'll be on next episode. Hope you'll join me. Hey, did you watch the Grammys? I taped it and fast-forwarded through 90% of it. I watched the hip-hop retrospective. It was great. They started with all the old-school rappers. Run DMC, Rakim, Public Enemy. And they went through all the years. Queen Latifah, Salt and Pepper. I don't know why Salt and Pepper didn't do Push It, but okay. Then it Busta Rhymes, LL Cool J. And then they got to the current rappers. And they brought the performers to a screeching halt. I'm sorry, I guess it's a generational thing. I just don't get this new rap. They sucked all the energy out of the room as soon as they came on stage. There was a young lady, new school rapper, very attractive, but she scared me to death. I thought she was going to beat me up and take my lunch money. Yes, let me introduce myself. I don't get it. Just every new rap is just them rattling off expensive name brand shoes or clothes or liquor. Is it a song or is it a Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous commercial? I don't know. What was I talking about, though? Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening. Please share, follow, and subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Visit the website for sources and fact checks. I'll put up a couple of the things I talked about in the show. I'll put it up on the website, www.thecomparisongroup.com. www.thecomparisongroup.com. Thanks a lot. I'll see you next time.